Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Come on, the guy is great. He's a great poet, you know that. So that's why he's going to put on a tux. He's going to go to Gothenburg or wherever and get the Nobel. First, he wasn't going to get the accept the Nobel. Now he's accepting it. Now he's going. Now he's not going. I'm just playing that because I didn't want to play Maxine Waters. Anything but Maxine Waters. I'm trying so hard not to play her, but I'm going to play her. Now, I must make an admission on the show right at the outset. Spring fever and the allergies have hit. I've been staving them off with a certain grapefruit extract spray that's worked fine. It staved off the allergies for about a month. I am so whacked out from allergies right now. I just had to take a pill. So give me about 25 to 30 minutes, and I'm going to have a special guest on the show at about the bottom of the hour, which will be my other personality, the personality that feels good. Because if I were not in radio, you know what I would do on a day like today? I'd be a normal person. I'd stay in bed. I would mope around. I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't go out of the house on a day like today the way I feel. Why can't I do that? Why can't I be a normal person, just lay around and like do nothing? Why do I have to work every day like this? Why? Because if I don't, who will? Who would do the things I do if it was not for me? Who would take on all of the unsavory characters in the government media complex who have polluted bloodstreams? When you look at the people on MSNBC, for example, and you see Chris Matthews drooling on himself, and you ask yourself, how in the world can the executives, who can't be much smarter than them, or let's say less demented than they are, they look at the eyes of a person like Chris Matthews, and they remind you of eyes on FBI and Interpol wanted posters. If you look at the eyes now, you see eyes without empathy. You look at their eyes that are just staring at you to indulge and profit from your loathsome personality, to degrade you. Luciferian cowards, stoned on hatred for everything decent. Now, who could give you anything but me, a thing like that? Nobody. Then I read today that the House is passing a bill undoing Obama's internet privacy rules. I said, wait a minute, I'm getting a headache from this. I can't keep up with this. I don't know. Now I'm on the side of Nancy Pelosi. This is crazy. I can't keep up with it. Stephen Deenan of the Washington Times, fine reporter, says Trump to sign bill rolling back internet privacy protections. I don't know. What the hell is this? What is this rule? So the Republicans are now pushing for less privacy for me? Now, wait. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says this is staggering. This is almost a surrender. If the Republicans are allowed to do this, we have surrendered all thoughts of privacy for the American people. All 215 votes, yes votes, came from Republicans, while all Democrats present voted against the bill, as did 15 Republicans. Which side are the Republicans on? I mean, I don't know the answer to this one. Do I now have to shame myself by saying I agree with Pelosi? I have to think about this a little bit more because it doesn't make sense to me. The world is in free fall. Now, having told you all of that, I will tell you that my book is selling very well. Trump's War sold a phenomenal amount of books. It's outselling Scorched Earth and doing great on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Costco. E-books are going off the shelves. Well, there's no shelves for them. And they're starting a whole ad campaign, believe it or not, on FoxNews.com. All right, whatever. Starting today. They're just trying to keep it in them. But my greatest advertiser, my number one advertiser, is Swiss America, Crave Smith. He's a friend of mine. And he said he went on to the iBooks at Apple. And he said, and I went on to number one on New York Times bestsellers. He said, the status did not reflect your book. He said, Apple Books has a category, New York Times bestsellers. And he said, you're number one on the New York Times list. And yet he said, you're not even on their list. They're blackballing you. You don't even appear in the list at all. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. Tim Cook's Apple Books is burying Trump's war. Okay. All right. That's important. You know, my birthday is Friday. My wedding anniversary is Friday. I made it easy for myself. That way I never forget my anniversary. Guys, if you're young, just try to make the two work together. Even if they're sort of not exactly the same day, you'll never forget your anniversary. You'll never forget your... I got a young guy there from Dallas looking at me, right? He got married recently. And no, he likes that idea. Just kind of, you know, like morph your anniversary into your birthday. You'll never forget your anniversary. When you get the pointy hat for your own birthday in years to come, your wife will say, well, what about our anniversary? You'll say, dear, we're celebrating our anniversary today. Well, what, don't you understand that? It's a great technique. It works all the time. Notice I haven't gotten angry or nasty yet. I'm building it up. I feel like a pit viper lining it up, but I have to do it. I'm trying not to do it because murky water's got me thinking again. How does a woman like this get up in the morning? How does she do it without calling 911 and saying, please take me away? Please check me into the nearest asylum. I can't live inside my head. Okay, so now that I've told you that, here is none other than Murky Waters in clip number 8 in the Savage Nation.
First of all, let me thank Hillary Clinton for standing up for all women, and in particular for black women. And let me just say this. I'm a strong black woman, and I cannot be intimidated. I cannot be undermined. And I'd like to say to women out there everywhere, don't allow these right-wing talking heads, these dishonorable people, to intimidate you or scare you. Be who you are, do what you do, and let us get on with discussing the real issues of this country.
Now, I'm hereby announcing the creation of a Go Unfund Her campaign so that Maxine Murky Waters can start a Stupid Lives Matter movement. And you see, SLM will organize, posturize, and disharmonize in all ways, continue to demonstrate the power of stupid people to destroy a nation. So if you want to contribute to this new organization, which will be run by Maxine Waters, I hope I can get it to agree to this. Stupid Lives Matter is accepting your donations at a GoFundMe site yet to be determined. And now on to the news of the day. Not. You don't want to hear the news. I know people don't even tune in to hear the news. What do they need me for the news for? They go to a few websites. No one cares about the news right now. War drums. North Korea threatens USA over Kim Jong-un fat jibes. Could kill 90% of Americans, and I'm sitting here. What should I do? Be living in a shelter or something? I don't care about Kim Jong-un. I don't care about him. I don't know why they don't knock him off already. Why can't we just preemptively launch against North Korea before they kill us? Why can't we stop them? I don't understand this. How is this even possible? The media is putting their heads in the sand. Here is a nation that could launch with a small warhead, a little miniaturized warhead, and they could reach the west coast of the United States. Now, I grew up in the 50s when we had to do duck and cover. Some of you older folks remember that. Remember that, the fun you'd have jumping under the desks in elementary school? It was a way away from the boredom and depression of math and spelling and reading. They'd ring a bell. It was like a civil defense test, exercise. Because it was in the age of the Cold War with Russia, something that the Democrats would like to see again, because there's big billions to be made in stirring up war fears, and warmongers like Charles Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and others are salivating to make sure that the money comes rolling in for the new Cold War that they're ginning up. But in the 50s, you'd be in the middle of a class, you'd be talking about George Washington crossing the Trenton River, or whatever. I was studying what a peninsula was for 5 straight years. You know, I look back on my elementary school years. I learned, in the first 5 years, I learned like 5 things. I learned what a peninsula was. I learned how to add 2 and 3. I mean, I learned nothing in the first 5 years. But I did learn how to hide under a desk in case the Russians launched against us with long-range bombers. I don't think they had missiles in those days that could reach the U.S., but they could launch a bomber that could hit New York. So you'd be listening to the teacher talking about whatever. And then she'd say, I know, an alarm would go off. All right, boys and girls, get under your desks. And we loved it. Books would be flying all over the room. You got a chance to be a kid again. You kicked your chair back. And you got under a desk. I mean, like, that was going to help you in a nuclear blast. It was unbelievably stupid. But there weren't enough desks for everyone, so some of us had to go into the clothing closets. I remember to this day, we had to run into the clothing closets, which had hooks, which today could impale you. with the shyster lawyers in New York today. You know how many lawsuits there be against the New York City schools? My daughter went in the closet for a civil defense test, and she jabbed herself with a clothing hook. Oh, she can't walk. She hurt her lumbago. I want to sue for $80 million. Anyway, so we went in the closets and hide in the coats. We come out, and then we go back to the boredom of it. Maybe we need civil defense tests again to wake the kids up to the reality of the world they live in. No, all they got to do is ride in New York public transport, and they'll know what the danger really is. There's probably more risk of getting killed in a New York City subway, or let us say assaulted or knifed, than there was of getting hit by a nuclear weapon in the 1950s from Russia. Well, I got through the opening. That's pretty good. The pill hasn't hit yet. It's 16 minutes after the hour. We played Murky Waters. No one's interested in nuclear weapons. I brought up the internet thing. No one cares. I brought up the stupid Lives Matter movement. Not a response. Nothing. Zero. Gornish. Zero. Nothing. So I'm going to go to the websites now, get desperate. I'm not interested in the news. Why am I not interested in the news? Why? Because it's the end of March already. We had an election. We were almost dead from it. A year. It was like 2 years of a campaign. It went on for two straight years. We were dead by the end of the election. Now look at this. It's the end of March already. You want me to still read headlines about news? Do I care about Obamacare? No. I don't care about it one way or the other. Nothing. It doesn't affect me one way or the other. I'm supposed to act like I'm outraged. I'm enraged. I don't care about it. Either repeal it or fix it. Leave me alone. What do I care about it? What do I really care about? Well, my dog was sick all day. I care about that. He bit my feet three times under the desk, and I couldn't understand it. It turns out we took him to the vet. He's been constipated for 2 days. Now, please don't send recipes and remedies. We got him the pumpkin in the can already. Did nothing. And it's not even Halloween. I gave him every remedy. He's still walking around like he looks like an old man in the Catskill Mountains in the 50s, holding his back. If he could talk, he'd say, oh, he's old. I don't know what's wrong with him. I feed him the same stuff, but he's in pain, so... The dog is worrying me. He bit my feet three times. So the guy writes me a thing on the internet. And he says, oh, by the way, Michael Savage, he said, did you ever think that Teddy doesn't see feet the way he used to see them after the assault in Tiburon a few weeks ago when he got kicked by some big feet? I said, no, I didn't think of that. So now my dog's traumatized from the incident? I didn't think about that. I had no idea he sees feet differently. Okay, again, dead in the water. Now, if I were on a stage in a nightclub right now, I'd probably start screaming at the audience. I'd throw cocktail glasses at the audience. I'm not looking to make you call this show. You know, it's an interesting thing, talk radio, which is I could give you a topic any second and have you jam up the lines and then start, yeah, Bill in Duluth, what do you have to say about that? And no, we do a show. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. I could do it. I know which topics to use. I don't even want to do it right now. For the moment, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to listen to. I have nothing to say that you will want to hear until the allergy pill clicks in, which I would say now I've been on the air about 18 minutes. I took the pill at the top of the hour. My guess is somewhere around 34 after the hour, I will have the guest on that will be able to do the show better, and that'll be me, the part of me that can do the show better. So hang in there. I'll be back soon.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400.
You have a president who tells the world that in his view, after intensive study, he has concluded, unlike the rest of the scientific community, that climate change is a hoax emanating from China. And what he has done in appointing the people...
Got it. He's all upset about the climate. The pickle man speaketh. The pickle man speaketh. A great scientist, by the way, Dr. Bernie Sanders. He has studied climate for his entire life and come to the conclusion that Trump is devastating the entire world because he lifted restrictions on burning coal. And so you have to pay attention to the pickle man because the pickle man's scientific credentials are so phenomenal. They equal that of Albert Schweitzer and Albert Einstein put together. Just to start with, to show you how great the science is on this subject. All right, so there we are. Now, there are so many good stories out there that I think I'll just take your calls. Let's start with James on KSFO, line 4. James, what's on your mind today on the Savage Nation?
Hey, Michael, what's up? Hey, I'm with you, man. I'm straight up getting tired of all the media back and forth. I can't even listen to it anymore because it's just so one-sided. I'm with you, man. I'd rather listen to you all day. You got some great stories. You got,
Yeah, that's the whole thing. What do you want me to do? Like, someone who was close to me said, you know what, they wait for you to stop doing the news and start doing your other stuff. That's what they're actually waiting for.
I love it all.
So what is the other stuff that you'd like me to do? I read from books that I'm writing. You want me to do that again?
You know what? It really doesn't matter the topic. I've listened to you for so long, and
so I'm like a part of the geography of your mind. So whatever mood I'm in, it's like you come into my cafe, and I'm the guy who owns it. I'm behind the thing, and I'm just rapping today, and you hang out. That's so it's like hanging out for a few hours. That's what it comes down to, right?
Hey, absolutely. You know, why not? I mean, all this flooding of news and, you know, back and forth and just...
That's right. One side is on this side. The other side's on that side. They're never going to change. With the Russia, 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 Russia. It doesn't stop. It's so nauseating that you don't believe it. How can they keep up this Russia campaign? How did Russia suddenly become the worst country on the planet? North Korea is threatening to wipe us off the planet, and these schmucks are running about Russia. That's all. Okay, you want a free book? Is that why you're hanging on so long?
Oh, I'll take Trump's War. That's great, but, you know, I just want to let you know.
I'm joking. Come on, you'll get a copy of Trump's War. It is. No, thanks. The guy. Look, I'm like a guy in their lives. Most people who grew up listening to the show, they know who I am already. They know my moods, and they know that I go in and out of these sardonic phases. Wait, the pill, I feel it somewhat, about 20% clicked in. I think right after this break, I'll start the show.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, you could say that the Democrat Party is where they've all collected. They've aggregated them in the Democrat Party. That's true. It's sort of a safe space for the psychotics in society. Actually, it keeps them away from doing greater harm when you think about it. If you look at the people in the Democrat Party like Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, it's like a bug house, only it's like an outpatient bug house. No meds, no hospitalization. It costs us less probably to pay them a salary as a congresswoman than it would be to medicate them and keep them in a hospital when you think about it. It's actually a good deal for us. Here she is again talking about collusion. It's a big word. I know for a fact that she had to practice that one. Here is the genius of Maxine Waters in clip number 7.
He came to the presidency with the kind of character and background
character
that made me...
Is she talking about a recipe with vegetables? He came to the presidency with the carrot, huh? Did I hear that wrong? Does she mean character? I guess in Southern California they say character instead of character. So, okay, it's a certain brogue, a certain type of way of speaking. I shouldn't criticize it. I myself don't speak proper English. Look how far I've gotten speaking poor English. It's amazing to me. Who speaks proper English anymore except the Englishmen who've lost their country? They're so proper they forgot to defend themselves, which is the most proper thing to do, which is number one, survival. What's the difference if you speak perfect English? Take a look at the rap stars. They speak 50 words of English and they're worth $50 million. What do they need English for? What do you need English for in this country? Take a look at Maxine Waters. Look how far she's gotten. She can't even say character. Even though she's trying to say Trump doesn't have character, she says he has no character. Maybe she's saying something we should know. Maybe he needs to eat more carotene, and she's concerned about him. I don't know what the problem is. It's purely seditious. And then you have Sanders obsessed with coal and carbon dioxide, which is one of the most ludicrous things on earth to worry about. Bernie, there are bigger problems. If there was collusion with Russia and this and that... What else is in the news that I shouldn't tell you about? What do I want to bum you out for? All right, here we go again. Bernie Sanders. The day wouldn't be complete if I didn't pick up another pickle man shot. Here's the seltzer man talking about now insurance companies in 19.
There is one major country on earth that does not guarantee health care to all people as a right. It's the United States. And that country, our country, ends up spending...
Shut up, you commie bum. You shut up, communist bum. Communist bum, shut up. Communist bum, get a soapbox, go to Union Square, communist bum. I knew this type of bum. This is the type of bum in my father's generation who couldn't get a job or was too lazy to open a business. And so they usually taught. They had rotten suits with tuna fish stains in the lapel from taking a tuna sandwich on the IRT. And all they did was talk about trade unions and talk about Karl Marx, and they beat everyone up. No one liked them. They were hated by everyone in the family. Even people who were liberal hated the Bernie Sanders types, hated them. They just wouldn't stop. They all know they're liars. The guy could never get a living in anything other than hating. Hating America. Human suffering. Now he's concerned that look at all the topics he's worried about. How could one head carry all of this around so much without fainting? Coal was one subject. He went from coal to insurance companies. He went from coal to insurance to healthcare companies. How does this man carry the weight of the world on his head like this at his age? So now he's effectively worried about health care for all. Who's going to pay for it? That's the one thing that they don't understand, is that if you have to give everyone health care, someone pays for it, Bernie. Who's going to pay for that? Well, the answer is you cut the military spending, right? How did that work out, that for 3 years we couldn't beat ISIS by cutting the military spending? And there's a lot of scams in liberalism, let's be honest with you. Look, I'm not a man who supports corporate crony capitalism. I hate it. I've told it to you yesterday that the people who make their money by trading currencies, for example, or by speculating, pure speculation, without producing anything, are not capitalists by any means. There, it's another form of economics that has nothing to do with capitalism. It's a tumor on the system of capitalism that was developed going back to Adam Smith, if you want me to get specific about it. Now, I don't really want to lecture you. But when you see these people who provide no jobs, no services, making billions of dollars a year, you have to ask yourself, what is wrong with the system that permits them to do it? And so I've come up with solutions. I did so in three books ago, trickle up this, trickle up down that, scorched earth, Trump's war. I have solutions. The problem is I don't have any influence. I had one dessert with you-know-who, and after I've gotten slightly, let us say, I'm critical of certain things. Why shouldn't I be? If you know what? I think that the president would be better off with a guy like me around him. Let's say he has a fairly intelligent guy with a good grasp of things that are going on, and I know what the people want. Why shouldn't I be able to say, I think you're wrong about this, and I think you should do that? Why shouldn't I? Does he have anyone around him who says that? Is there anyone in the inner circle who can criticize? I don't do any of them. I don't know. Look, it's not only him. Do you think Obama listened to anyone tell him what he should do? Are you kidding me? Do you actually think that Obama listened to any criticism? Do you know what it takes for a human being to get to that height? Now, let's try to imagine this together. Man or woman, do you have any idea what kind of ego, what kind of character it takes to become president of the United States or the head of any major country? They don't get there by listening to people. That's number one. No one does. They don't have the time. They're sure they're right about everything. It usually works for them. So they really don't want to hear criticism or advice. Can you blame them? So what am I going to say to you? That's all. Let's see. It didn't click yet. It's 40 minutes after the hour. It's about 40, 45%. This is a doozy. I may have to go to Florida to get away from the allergies. When they come in here, in Northern California, this is like a death sentence. I staved it off. Usually it starts with the acacias in January. It is so bad now, around my birthday, I don't know what to do. No, this is Florida time. I got to go down there because there's no pollen there. Just, you die of boredom. You don't get pollen, but you die. Your heart stops from the boredom of the place. That's why I can't go anywhere. It's like, what am I going to do? Oh, because I don't have allergies if I go to Florida. It smells good. I get up in the morning, 5:30, I look out the window of a place near the beach, and I see people marching like at Paris Island, like the Marine boot camp, schlepping and trudging in wet sand at 5 in the morning thinking it's good for them. Where'd they come up that it's good for them to walk in wet sand at 5 in the morning? What kind of stupidity is that? The human being is supposed to sleep in the morning. There's not an animal on earth that gets up at dawn if they don't have to. What does an animal get up at dawn for unless it has to go out and get food? If it didn't have to go out and get food, it would stay in the cave. What do you think? It's crazy? It would grab its wife and lay there in the bed for another couple hours. And she would stay too. What would she want to go out for, walk around in sand? Everything is upside down. Nothing makes sense in our society. So there's no reason to go there. I mean, I don't like the water. I don't like sharks. I don't like sharks. Like, I swim in the ocean in South Florida. I always have this thing that a sea creature is going to grab my genitals and pull me under. Now, I don't know whether that's a psychosis, neurosis. I don't like swimming in the ocean. It's like unknown. There are sea creatures. What? No, think about what I'm saying. You know how unnatural it is for a human being with an exposed body, even if you're wearing trunks, to go into an ocean? Do you have any idea how stupid that is? Not only, let's say it's not an animal with big teeth. Let's put that aside. Let's forget Bobby Darin or the shark bites with his teeth there for 1 minute. Even smaller animals can get into your body in the ocean. It's filthy. My mother would never swim in anything but a chlorinated pool. She was not wrong. She lived to 88. So, Ma, why don't you go in the ocean? It's disgusting. It's dirty. Who would ever heard a thing like that? I don't know. I don't like the ocean. She liked the chlorinated pool in the Catskill Mountains. God rest her soul. Dip her feet. That was it. That was the extent of it. Ethel Merman, she wasn't. But it worked for her. Many things she did made sense. So here we are. What makes sense in the world today? Does anything make sense anymore? Look at my poor little dog. Look at this little guy. I had a bad night last night thinking about him. He's sick. That's the way of all flesh. He's getting old, you know. And it's funny because it's not funny. Because, you know, I already did the box already with the ashes already on the mantle with the snowy. I'm looking at that one. I don't want to think about it. But I have to think about it. Then, of course, what? Through our pets, we think about who? Us. Then we start in with the maudlin. And then you get like self-pitying. And you start thinking about, well, how is that going to be? Who do I want at the funeral? I mean, it's crazy. Are you supposed to put together a funeral list before, like, when you're still healthy? Is that what you do? Am I supposed to sit down, like, work out the music and the food and the venue right now? I don't want to do that. No, think about this. This is a thing that no one dares talk about. But think about this. You know, okay, people do in most societies. They plan it in most societies. They have a mausoleum built before they're even born. It's all worked out for them. I don't even know how they get up in the morning. Yeah, there's the great-grandfather up there on the hill in Italy, then the grandfather, then the father. They're all up there in the little towns in Italy. And they go visit. They talk to them. Then they're going to go into one day. I don't know. I couldn't go through a day. So I've always felt that I'm immortal, that that doesn't apply to me. It only applies to the rest of you. It only applies to the rest of humanity. It's not going to affect me. No, I'm in a special category. I'm never going to lose a tooth. My hair's not going to turn gray. I'm not going to get old. No, none of that applies to me. I'm immortal. How many people actually walk around thinking that they're going to have... No one. Notice that half sentence I gave you? That quarter of a sentence, that eighth of a sentence, but the implications were there. You know what's doing this? I get this way every year around my birthday. Now, of course, each birthday is even more closer to the... So you don't even want to... So some people don't even have birthdays. You're like, no, don't do it. I don't want to be reminded. Then they get the hair implants. The worst guys, the most depressing guys on the planet are the guys who don't accept their aging at all. The worst are the hair plugs on Wall Street. That they dye them black. Have you ever seen guys who like dyed black hair? They look horrible. They're better off like bald or just let it turn gray. What is with the hair plugs? You know how ugly you look? Do you think there's a woman on the planet who doesn't know that those are fake hairs in your head? Look, I'm not knocking it. If it makes you feel better and it gives you a little excitement, go ahead. God bless you. Maybe you're better off than I am. But getting back to that issue of mortality, just for a moment, since I can't seem to escape it, since no one can seem to escape it, since that's the fate of mankind, which is to walk around as though we're immortal, knowing every second we are mortal, that is the absolute greatest challenge that a human being can face if they're actually living in that world. And now, great novels have been written about this. I can't say I've written one yet. I'm going to publish one soon. But it's not going to be a novel. It's going to be called Michael Savage's God Book. Because I don't want to go into that right now, but I'm going to, it's all about mortality and looking for God everywhere. Because a man like me has to believe that there's a hereafter. I must believe there's a hereafter because it doesn't make sense. Why would I have, let's start with the fact that we are not alone on the planet. We came from ancestors, right? I know America. What? Ancestors? Who are they? Never heard of them. Those are the people who came before you. So you're an extension of the lineage of your ancestors, no matter, you know, whatever it may be. Okay, so what is the point of millions of years of survival and evolution? If at the end of the thing we're nothing, we become dust, and there's nothing afterwards, what is the point of living? Now, okay, so this is very depressing if you actually say, I can't listen to this guy. Who is this guy? Is he crazy? Why am I listening to him? I don't want to hear this anymore. Turn that guy off, Millie. Millie says, no, listen to him. He's trying to tell you something. So what I'm trying to tell you is that you have to deal with this one way or the other. So now, since my birthday is this Friday, March 31st, it's been that way ever since I can remember, because I was born on March 31st in a certain year. And the palmist asked me on the other day, Vernon, he said, what time of day were you born and where you were born? I said, I know I was born in Manhattan. I got the birth certificate. I said, I know it was 6:30 in the morning. So I looked at the birth certificate. It says 6:30 p.m. But then I remember my mother said, no, they had it wrong. It was supposed to be a.m. Since this day, I don't know whether it was a.m. or p.m. Does it really matter? But the stars are going to be different if I was born 6:30 a.m. or 6:30 p.m.? I don't understand. Why should that matter to anybody? So let me continue this monologue for a minute on mortality and existence the minute I come back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
It is the Savage Nation. Now, many of you don't know this, but I was formerly director of nutrition for one of America's largest health food chains. I've told you that before. It's a big deal because I found a great product, Super Beets. It's an impressive, natural, functional food, and it works. Do you know why? Because it affects blood flow. What does that mean? Beets are loaded with dietary nitrates, plain beets, but they convert to nitric oxide in the body. Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates to specifically help with blood flow and circulation. Super Beets works 3 times faster to give you results you can feel. It tastes great. I take Super Beets every day. I can feel the energy and stamina it gives me within 20 minutes, and I want you to feel it too. Maybe I should go get some right now. Call 800-481-0504. That's 800-481-0504, or go to SavageLovesBeets.com. That's SavageLovesBeets.com. You're going to get a 30-day supply free, comes with your first order, and is backed by a money-back guarantee. You can also get a free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You're going to love the results you feel with your first free canister. It's guaranteed to get your money back. So go to 800-481-0504. And now on to the Savage Nation stories of the day. I was talking about existence, wasn't I? Where was I when I was talking about life and existence? No one wants to hear it. It's boring. Why do they want to hear my existence, my talking about existence? Everyone has to struggle with it themselves. You all have a cross to bear, so to speak. You have to schlep your life through life. Every day you have to schlep it every day. You have to get up and there it is again. There's your life that you have to put on your back. Brush your teeth, wash your face, comb your hair, put on clean clothing. Unless you're a Democrat, that doesn't apply. And you go out into the world and you try to do as little harm as you can. I mean, that's the way to approach it. Don't think you're going to do great things. It's, you know, like doctor do no harm. You know, they don't even read the Hippocratic Oath in medical schools anymore. Think about that one. Remember the Hippocratic Oath? They don't teach them that anymore. Doctor do no harm or do as little harm as you can. How come they don't teach that in medical school? They forgot that, the primary rule of medicine. That was the first rule. Doctor do no harm. The rest is gravy. No one thinks of it that way. Now it's billable hours. How many procedures and stuff, you know, can they bill you for? Come in, they look at the chart, they don't touch you. So here we are. Birthday brings about mortality. It's always the same thing. Allergies, horrible time of year for me. Stupid Lives Matter movement. Your favorite passage from Trump's war. And all the news of the day that the pickle man speaketh of shall be reported right here on the Savage Nation. So please, be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael.
Died of an H overdose, age 19 or 20. Why do so many artists use drugs? I don't understand that. What, do they feel more than we do? Is that it? Supposed to believe they feel more? People with, like, those demonic eyes that we see on MSNBC, those with polluted bloodstreams, I'm supposed to believe they feel more about humanity than I do? When they sell degradation and drugged filth. I don't quite understand why they all use drugs. What, to get them up to do the show or something like that? You got to get high on something to do a show? And maybe there's something in it. I don't know. I've avoided it. I just took an allergy pill. It hasn't worked. Maybe I should look into something stronger. I don't know. It doesn't work. I took an over-the-count allergy pill. Nothing. Zero. Gornish. Bald. Nothing. No work. No effect whatsoever. So I think I'll just read you something. I don't want to do news. I'm not doing it. I absolutely refuse. Unless there's some kind of monster breaking news story, which isn't happening. I refuse to do it. It is so boring. It's the most boring thing on the planet. Politics, perhaps, is the most boring subject in the universe. In fact, I knew kids when they went to college, they studied political science. They usually had no imagination. The most they could do was become a lawyer. Nothing more than that. Straight line, one-dimensional, no imagination. They're terrified of thought, terrified of imagination, threatened by their own thinking. And I always shunned that. I was the other kind of personality. How I stayed in school so many years, I'll never understand. I hated school. But I stayed in school forever. I got a master's degree, then another, then a PhD. Real great degrees, published widely in my field. But it was a dead end in many ways. It's just a dead end. I mean, higher learning, you think about higher learning. Well, there are fields of higher learning. There's no question about it. When you look at the low level of intellect in the media and in the entertainment business, you say, thank God there's higher learning. I don't know how a young person goes to school and still studies English literature, considering the systems in place in the university now do not even permit literate people to teach English. There are people from foreign countries who can't speak English teaching English literature while putting down dead white males. It's unbelievable to me what's happened as a result of the degradation of our society. So I'm going to read you something that I remember I told you I'm writing a God book. And the God book isn't due for a while, July. It'll be out, I don't know when, October. Same great publisher who published Trump's War. They're thrilled, they're elated. It's doing so well. It's just flying off the shelves because it's a book for its time and it's got its own momentum now. So I'm not going to talk much about it right now. But I told you I was working on the God book. Now, why would a man think that his book about God would be worth reading at all? Think about the ego it takes to write a book to begin with. That's number one. Now, or how about doing a radio show, any of us in this business? You have to have some faith in yourself, don't you, to do this? So I'm saying, why would anyone want to read Michael Savage's book about God? Well, what do they care what I think about God? Isn't it up to the individual to find their own relationship with God, or they don't believe in God and they're atheists or whatever? What would you care about my view? Now, I've read books over the years, like by some very famous writers, like their God book, and I'm not doing that kind of book. You know, they talk about how their faith instills in them a reason to this, and that. I'm not doing that kind of book. It's not going to be one of those hokey, you know, read my book and find God books, for a couple of reasons. One of which is I'm not going to try and tell you what to believe. That's number one. And number two, I think it's such a personal journey for all of us that that's not what I want to give you. So I'm doing something else. It's basically my relationships, my whole life, searching for the meaning of life and searching for the existence of God in whatever I did. So someone said to me, my agent said, you know, I just read your 98,000-word manuscript about your years as a plant collector, which I boiled down to 98,000 words. That's yet another book. It's not the God book. And he said, it's unbelievable. He says, three books in one. He said, one of them is a personal odyssey. The other one is a science book. And then there's a third one, which is your search for God. He said, virtually every plant species that you pulled in the earth somewhere in a remote island, you were searching for the proof of the existence of God. In the very sap that you were finding that cured things, you were trying to say, this proves God exists. I said, I never thought of it that way. So he said, you've been on an odyssey your whole life. The same odyssey. So I decided to take a collection of thoughts and writings and make that Michael's God book. Now, in this book, that was a nice, cogent description. I want to read one piece of it, and it's called We Never Know When We're Going to Die. It's a short piece. Do you want me to do it? Yes or no? Raise your hand in the audience. Robert says yes. Because I rather do this than Obamacare. Is it too long? No, it's just about right. It'll fit right here. This will be the end of the God book. I think this is my last chapter. Okay? The Room with a View to Eternity. It's the last piece of the God book. I'm just giving you a teaser. Yearning for the occasional conversation and the soft, sweet winter light as it bathes the pastel-colored wooden buildings, the wonderful food of China and Italy as it has been adapted to America's West Coast over a period of about 100 years. Walking up the stairs to my room on the top or fifth floor on the old hotel on Sansome Street of Broadway, I ran into my old friend Hank. "Hey, if it isn't my old friend Hank," I said, greeting him at the top of the first set of stairs in this red brick walk-up. The linoleum was as clean as your grandmother's, and it always reminded me of my grandmother's big house with the potted palm by the door. A grandmother dead now for over 40 years whose house emitted a clean, sweet aroma that I swear I recognize each time I enter this random hotel, mainly occupied by men on the run or hiding from their past. Hank and I hadn't spoken on the phone for about 3 months since I moved away into a house across the bay. He used to call a couple of times a week, but being a notoriously cheap SOB, he stopped calling because the rate was no longer local. "So, Hank, I'm now 47 cents away. Too much, huh?" He gave me his John Wayne smile, which suited his face and lanky 65-year-old frame. "You heard about the arrest?" he said. Yeah, you told me a few months ago about the two cops who jumped you for packing. You wouldn't want them to risk their lives on a dangerous drug dealer or deranged street psycho, would you, Hank? Guess not, but the judge gave me my gun back. He let a friend buy it who sold it back to me. Well, you're lucky you got a judge your age who respected your war record and your little speech in court. If you got that slumlord judge who weeps for the poor, she'd have thrown you in Folsom for 10 years. As Hank sat down to chat with me on the landing, the two of us glad to have this chance meeting to renew our long but distant friendship, I recalled his speech to the judge, now famous in certain circles in San Francisco. Arrested by chance as he got off a bus on Broadway at Stockton, just as he shifted his pistol from his shoulder pack to his jacket pocket, Hank was more humiliated than angry. "They threw me against the car and broke my butterflies," he had told me months before when I first heard of this case. "They didn't have to break my butterflies." Being uneducated by formal means, he had taken a liking to the butterflies soon after leaving the Navy in 45 or 46, and had since become a serious amateur collector. His tiny room was stacked with books and butterflies. No TV, just a radio for the all-night talk shows, which he devoted himself to as other men did their jobs. "Now, Judge, a gun is not much good if you're assaulted. I admit that," he began. "But a gun is very good if you are across the street when somebody else is being assaulted. If I had been there when the 20-year-old boy was being beaten to death by those monsters who he caught trying to steal his car, he might still be alive, Judge. Or that guy who was beaten to death by those creeps with baseball bats who accosted him at the cash machine on Mission Street, Judge. Remember that? He might be alive this very day if I happened to be across the street with my gun when they jumped him." He told this to the judge despite my advice and that of his free lawyer. But he did it his own way. He had to tell the truth, that he was 65 years old, ex-Navy, and unwilling to hide indoors, and that he felt unsafe on the streets of San Francisco unarmed. So the judge decides to dismiss the case, charging him with a misdemeanor. But it doesn't end there. He is taking the cops to a hearing for manhandling him and for breaking his pretty little butterflies, some monarchs he had just collected over in the headlands. Well, our friendship renewed over a few good laughs. We headed up Broadway to have a beer in the microbrewery. He was, as I've said, in his mid-60s, more or less idle from his occasional trade, and happy as a clam, now that Social Security paid $500 a month to him, a small fortune. After I got to know him in his excessively self-centered way, living so spartanly, I called him an American Zen master, except when his excessive cheapness got to me. I think we stopped speaking a few months back after I gave him a few free bottles of reishi mushroom and he didn't even offer to buy me a beer. For God's sake, when they couldn't pay the country doctor in the American towns of the past, they gave him a barrel of apples. But I had saved him from sure death at the claws of cancer over 10 years before, and the bond was too sure to break over a temporary impasse. By taking him out of the VA hospital up on the bluff overlooking the Golden Gate and putting him on 30 grams of vitamin C a day plus other vitamins and a diet and some herbs, I pulled him back from the diagnosis of lymphoma and the doctor saying, "Hank, go home to die," the best doctors could offer at that time. "Hank, I went to a funeral last week, my friend Harry's father. You want to hear about it? I almost called you to come." They didn't have too many friends there, Hank. He nodded, sipped on his beer, and settled back to listen. One good thing about his generation and his culture, they were all good listeners. I'll continue the short story, the conclusion to my sequel to Trump's War, which is Michael's God Book. Why don't we call Michael's God Book a sequel to Trump's War? Because it'll really be my war against existence, my war against mortality. You know what I'm saying to you? You ever read the teachings of Don Juan back in the 70s, 60s? Remember that book where Castaneda wrote that death stalks us, death is always with us? You don't want to hear it. It's pretty frightening to most people to believe that she walks or he walks with us. And you gotta get used to that. It's there. So I'm going to come back to the funeral, which is the conclusion to Michael's God Book, the sequel to Trump's War. The minute I return, it'll take about 5 minutes. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, so I have a couple of minutes. I'm going to just finish up the end to Michael's God Book, which is the sequel to Trump's War. I know it's funny, but it's actually a sequel in its own way. It's a strange sequel to Trump's War, which is a huge bestseller, by the way. Thank you for buying that book. It's a very big book, which I'm going to talk about at another time. I just need a break from it for right now. So I'm reading you the last couple of pages from the God Book. So I'm talking about a guy I knew, lived in an SRO hotel. I was hanging out with him once in a while. And, you know, he's an old World War II veteran. And I say to him, Hank, I went to a funeral last week, my friend Harry's father. You want to hear about it? I almost called you to come. They didn't have too many people there. He nodded, sipped on his beer, and settled back to listen. One good thing about his generation, his culture, they were good listeners. Harry's father was 82, I began. He survived Auschwitz, where the German bastards cut three fingers from his right hand in a saw, just for sport. I watched Hank's face. It was, as I expected, guarded. After all, I had met this, I can't use the word, in a bar about 12 years ago, when I stood up to his anti-Semitic ravings. We quickly became good but guarded pals. He needing his, I can't read these words either, okay. Standing over 6 feet 5 inches and made of lean English muscle, I had threatened to kill him if he didn't shut up. Can't read the rest either. I say, maybe I was born to lead a tank brigade in Israel or a mob in Vegas. All I know is that I've led Little League in the suburbs and a few expeditions to collect plants in the Fiji Islands and been damn proud of it. But my eyes are those of a saint when calm, a killer when agitated. It's in my blood, I think, this murderous rage. Either through eye power or the work of saving angels, I've escaped death more than once. So Hank shut his mouth that night many years ago, and as I've said, he tends to harbor certain Nazi sentiments. So when I told him about Harry's mutilated hand, Harry's father's mutilated hand, I wasn't surprised at his lack of immediate pitying sounds. But I like a challenge, so I went on. He never cried about his hand, I told Hank. He came to America with Florence, who we met somewhere over there after the war, and had a family, namely Harry. He was full of life, a big drinker, loved women, beat his son with a strap, but a big personality. Hank nodded. I think the anti-Semite in him liked the never cried and beat his son parts of the father. So I proceeded with my funeral story. I had lost touch with Harry for a few years. His wife threw him out for beating her and at least one of their daughters. And he was in one of his episodic hidings, this time from the sheriff's department. Somehow I heard his father had cancer and was dying. I called his mother and I went over with a few days later. I brought a bag of groceries, you know, French bread, a pound of sliced turkey, some wine, some vegetables, and a quart of milk, I think. The usual stuff you bring when someone's sick, poor, and housebound. Florence and Harry greeted us at the door of their little one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco. I always liked it there, remembering the few dinners they invited us to. Having been in the antique business like my deceased father, the place was filled with oversized high-quality furniture and paintings. The father was in a bathroom in a gigantic English armchair, shrunken but beautiful in a way. He pulled me close and he said, Michael, I remember when you took me and Harry to Chabad in Berkeley almost 20 years ago. I know you almost 20 years. That's not a short time, Michael, as he held on to me tightly. You took me to a bar after on Telegraph. Those were the good times, Michael. Now is the bad times. Frank, I prodded, you hear this? I extend one good deed 20 years ago, and this guy remembers. It's like one of the best moments of his life, this one good drink. So he goes fast into the hospital where he insists they let him out, probably to die at home, and 3 or 4 days later, boom, it's over. Like that? Harry told me he had been sick most of the night, vomiting probably those toxic chemicals. He forces himself up and says, Harry, she's there on your left, the angel of death. His son gets scared. He says, Pop, there's nobody here but me and Mom. The old man stares at the big chair across that small room. To your right, Harry, on the couch. She's there. He's here with her. He stands up, starts to walk across the room, and dies. I can see that even the anti-Semite Frank, Hank, is tearing up, wiping them from his face. Listen, you racist, I said to him, looking at that hole in the ground with Henry's casket so bare and hearing the rabbi's ancient chant and watching the young Mexican grave diggers move by that chant, I became reminded of my own hole waiting. I never knew where I wanted to live, I whispered to his friend from Israeli intelligence at the funeral, and I sure don't know where I want to die. We never know where we're going to die, he reminded me with a 70s rocker's cackle and grin.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
In the West, I don't know what country you may be from, but those of us who are of Western civilization, these are highly, highly spiritual times. Around the same thing happens around the Christmas time. In Western lands, before it was invaded as a result of the socialists who are overrunning the lands with people foreign to the lands, foreign in every way, who will never assimilate in order to manipulate them and control them. Let's go to the call. Is Nate on WABC Line 6. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I want to tell you, one of the things you often talk about is why the bad things happen, sometimes to good people and death and destruction. My father's a rabbi. He's around 65 years old, and he just buried a woman who had two kids. She had cancer, horrible disease, hard life, and she didn't beat it. She died, and he gave the eulogy at the funeral. It's very close to the family, and he's been through a ton in his life, my father, and I've never seen him so down and out as after this event. When you play the end of the God book on March 24th, Friday, I just thought this was something he had to hear. He had never heard you. He's a very busy man. So I went over to his house a couple of nights ago, and we were talking, and he was very quiet, not in a talkative mood at all. I said, hey, I want to play you something. And I went on my phone, and I pulled it off of YouTube, and I played it. And by the way, his parents were Holocaust survivors and everything. And I saw the look on his face. It was like opening a world to him. I can't say, obviously, it answered his questions. That's probably not the point. But I think it gave him a perspective. And
why? What was it about that little piece, which I just reread, by the way, in a different way now? What do you think reached him in that? What is it that touched him, rather?
Well, I'll tell you, I think in that piece itself, there's good and bad. And there's acceptance of good and bad, not just in the person that's dying, but in your acceptance of this guy, Hank, I think you called him Barry, on the 24th. Or despite the fact that he had these clear issues of being an anti-Semite, and but you still were able to accept him. You say you had a guarded relationship with him. You were able to accept him.
Oh, you mean the guarded relationship I had with the anti-Semite, who was my friend Hank, who I called right. Absolutely, I understood his racism. I didn't accept it, but I liked him as a person. I knew he couldn't help his racism; it was inherent in him.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that
no, it's a strange thing to say. In other words, people have really horrible things about them, but that's not the only thing about them.
Right, and that's the world, and that's God, you know. And here, this horrible event happened, and he's a rabbi. He's expected to get up the next day and to himself, and he's expected to appreciate everything God does and to love God.
And not lose his faith in God is what you're, I think what you're saying. Your father somehow had his faith restored in listening to that little story. I don't know how it would restore faith, but I love the fact that it helped you with your dad and helped your dad's, you know, feelings at that time. You're a very careful listener because you heard the change in the character's name, because I'm still evolving the names and all, still working on the God book. All right. Hey, I'm sending you something far more political, which is Trump's war. And I want to read you a paragraph to show you something. You see, the writing is consistently the same. Whether I'm writing fiction or nonfiction, the writing is almost the same. It's the same personality. Listen to this opening, and you'll understand why the book is such a number one bestseller and why people are buzzing about it. I am not a guru. I am not a leader. I am a broadcaster and a writer who can think. In that sense, what you see is what you get. A man of the people who helped lead this revolution that gave us Donald Trump. In that sense, I am much like the thinkers and writers who helped lead the revolution 241 years ago. That first American Revolution was as much a revolution of ideas as political institutions, just like ours today. And it wasn't led by peasants, like the disastrous French Revolution, which immediately followed. It was led by men of ideas. When British subjects fired on British troops at Lexington and Concord, they called it the shot heard round the world. That's because it didn't just send a message to King George III. It sent a message to tyrants and the smug intelligentsia all over the world. The working man, the oppressed citizenry, had had enough. Donald Trump's startling victory last November was another shot heard round the world. Obama and Clinton had been confident in their ivory tower, if power-mad Poles can even have ivory towers. But I saw the revolution coming. I saw it before President Trump did. The people, I call them the Eddies and the Ediths, the common men and women, were quietly restless. They called me on the Savage Nation to express their concerns and discontent. Whenever then-candidate Donald Trump came on this show, I told him, listen to the people and you can't go wrong. He had already used my philosophy of borders, language, and culture to build his own electoral base. He heeded the advice I gave him, and now he is president of the United States. In fact, many people have told me that President Trump's entire campaign sounded like he was reading my books off a teleprompter. So we fired a shot, but we also dodged a bullet, friends. Not a bullet from the guns Hillary Clinton would have taken from us, but a national disaster, one that went far beyond the tragedy of four more years of the progressive Obama agenda. You see, the Boston Tea Party was all about a crooked trade deal. The colonists were being taxed without representation, so they let the king, Parliament, and the complicit East India Tea Company know that they were going to take it, that they weren't going to stand for it. Did you ever wonder why free trade agreements like North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, and Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, are thousands of pages long? It's because they're not about free trade. They're about granting privileges to government-connected special interests, just like the king granted them to his corporations. But the corruption goes far beyond cronyism. For all Americans who lost their manufacturing jobs because of these deals, Hillary Clinton offered to put them on welfare. She and the establishment wanted to make them dependent, wanted to make them perpetual Democrat voters, something that exceeded the ambition of even the autocrats in 18th century London. The upshot of that would have been something straight out of Orwell, with an anesthetized populace controlled by an elite ruling class. And the progressives had the nerve to call Republicans trickle-down fascists? The bullet we dodged was a permanent move to European-style socialism and the destruction of our once robust national character. And I'll pause right there on page 3 of Trump's War. You'll understand that my books are not simply screeds or polemics. There's literature, even in nonfiction. You understand there's a way to write things, there's a way to say things. And I believe that some of the art that is in this book, along with the nonfiction that is in this book, will help us save America over the coming months and years. Now, I know that many of you have given up already on Donald Trump. I know it for a fact. You're buying the lies. You're buying the lies of the media. You're buying the lies of the deep state. You're buying the lies of the Maxine Waters, the Nancy Pelosi's, and the Charles Schumer's. You're buying the lies of the Republican Party who's trying to undermine him. You're buying the lies of some within his own inner circle who have been misleading him. I'm telling you like I see it. I think all of this is going to change in time. Not tomorrow, but it's going to change. Right now we read that Trump is facing a pushback from the so-called Republicans in his own party over the border wall. They don't want a wall. They like the drugs. They like the illegal aliens. They like the mayhem that the illegals are causing. They don't want a wall. But we want a wall. He was elected to build that wall, remember? If you were to look back on the Trump campaign, look back now, just take a deep breath. I want you to call my radio show in the next few minutes, and I want you to tell me what it is you heard in his campaign that got you out to vote. What is it that he promised that you really, really, really wanted? Was it the wall to keep out the drugs and the illegal aliens? Was it the promise to bring jobs back to America? I would think that was a big thing. Manufacturing was supposed to come back, and maybe it will. Was it to reinvigorate the American character, to make us feel proud to be Americans again? What was it in Donald Trump's campaign messaging that reached you? That's an important question for me, because I think we may have lost our way ourselves. while blaming him for us having lost our way because we're so confused by the liars and the lies that we don't know what's real anymore. We don't know what's right and wrong. Has he done anything? Yeah, he's done a lot. But you don't know it. What you hear in the media, he's done nothing. He's in chaos. The administration is floundering. They don't know what they're doing. They're all amateurs. So you're buying the lie. I can list five major things that he has done. And I will when I return with your calls and your help right here on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-855-400-7282. Let me take a quick call. Carl, line 3, WABC. Carl, what's on your mind? What would you like to say?
Dr. Savage, I just want to say that you are a messenger of truth. You're passing on a legacy of your knowledge to the people that want to hear the truth. You have a great breadth of knowledge. You're a humorous man. There's a lot of humor in you. You remind me of my uncle, my father, who were in World War II. They were great men. The music is great. Your stories are wonderful because they reach the Joes, the Anns, the Eddies. All those people out there are listening to you.
But why is it that a guy like Chuck Schumer doesn't hear the message of the people? Think about this. This is a guy who grew up, I think, in a sort of working class background. Jewish guy from Brooklyn. Why is this man such a lunkhead? And why does he continue to keep repeating the big lie over and over again about Russia, collusion? What do you think it is about Chuck Schumer that makes him so wooden-headed?
Well, it might be his own misguidedness. I was in a communist country. I was in communist Czechoslovakia. I know what it's like, and I see some of those things here in this country again.
And well, don't you think Charles Schumer should know what that is that you are referring to? Does he not understand that the very things he is espousing, may it be against Donald Trump, is really trying to push communism in this country, which is what we have to a great extent in our universities already? They have destroyed the academies across America with sexual insanity, with attacks on white males, with attacks on Christianity, with attacks on Jews. Does he not understand the bigger issues than his stupid petty politics? The answer is, of course he doesn't. I don't think he even knows reality. How's that to make him the bête noire of this particular discussion? I don't think he really knows the danger that he's putting us in with his dangerous rhetoric. But I certainly appreciate your compliments. And I appreciate the fact that you see the art and the poetry in the politics that I try to espouse on this program. And I will send you a copy of Trump's War, first printing, first edition. I'll be back in a moment to take your calls at 855-400-7282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, here we are talking about the CIA, the NSA, and top intelligence agencies. All of our sensitive secrets can be hacked. We now know that safety and privacy of our finances are over. I mean, how safe and private do you think your finances are sitting in the cyber world? Who hacked them? How about your stock accounts, your saving accounts, even your 401ks? Frankly, that's why I turned to Swiss America for answers about protecting the Savage household finances and privacy. One book explained it all. Don't bank on it. And for a limited time, the first 500 callers can get a free copy. Only 500 of you are going to get it. What timing this is. 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. It's a free book on exactly the topic we're talking about. And you'll learn how to protect your money against what even the CIA cannot protect. Please do it now. It's free. It's a book. 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. For a free copy of the book, don't bank on it. You get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, I wish this bag under my eye would just go away. You know, probably you do, but you're not alone. You see, bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women unless you get a great product, Genucel. It's a plant stem cell treatment from a great company, Chamonix. And then, ladies and gentlemen, you use it, the bags go away, the puffiness goes down. Listen to Susan from New Jersey. Here's what she wrote. I've been using Genucel for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love the product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones and on my eyelids. It's not only Susan, folks. A lot of people I know love this stuff. And with its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours. You get your money back. I guarantee it. So call now and you'll save big on Genucel's spring clearance event. Order Genucel right now and get a free month supply with your order. 800-SKIN-891. Write it down. 800-SKIN-891. If you call right now, you're going to get free shipping. 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891. You got it? 800-SKIN-891. Why did you vote for Donald Trump? What is it that got you motivated enough to vote? Many of you weren't going to vote at all, but you listened to his messaging. And before I take your calls, and I've got calls jammed up around the block, we'll cover this in the next hour, why you voted for him. And they're really great calls. In the back of Trump's war, I have the conclusion is about solutions for each of the issues. But I start the solutions chapter by writing this. The worship of any politician is akin to a fundamentalist religious mindset. To the true believer, either you believe or you don't believe. Either you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Either you believe in a politician or you don't believe in a politician. Here is where the danger resides. Just as there are no absolutes in science, there is no absolutely pure, correct political system. We've seen what happens when a dictator insists on imposing his political views on the masses. North Korea, Cuba. To a lesser degree, we saw this under Obama, where there was almost no opposition. We must remain vigilant with the man we elected to ensure that our hope for him and America does not become blind worship. So then I go into savage solutions. The economy. You want to hear them? In 1776, Thomas Paine wrote, "We have it in our power to begin the world all over again. That is just as true for us today. We can reclaim America. We have chosen our general. Here is our battle plan. One, the economy. Cut taxes. Quit NAFTA. Employment mandate for Americans only. Foreigners need not apply. Immediately rebuild infrastructure through private investment. Solutions for Obamacare. You can read them yourselves. Restore our borders. World War III is being waged by undocumented, unvetted immigrants. Start fighting back. Purge our shores of enemy combatants and limit World War III to Europe. Build the wall now. Fire the bleeding hearts at the Centers for Disease Control and restore sensible public health protocols. End sanctuary cities and deport the illegal vermin who are killing our citizens. Restoring our culture. Kill Common Core at the state level. Restore civics classes at the local level. Abolish the Department of Education. Use the bully pulpit to preach Americanism. Restoring the military. This is all in Trump's war. You can see why it's a best-selling book. Defeating the war machine. You want to see what I write for solutions for defeating the war machine? Stand firm on peace with Russia. Combat the war propaganda with the bully pulpit. Destroy ISIS and then leave the Middle East. Bring our troops home from unnecessary deployment. There's a lot more in the conclusion, the battle plan in Trump's war. Number one, first week on the New York Times bestseller list, available everywhere. When we come back, why did you vote for Trump? What did you want Trump to do on the Savage Nation?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, no music. We don't need music. We have music in my own soul that you are going to be listening to for the next hour. In the first 2 hours, I took you on a mind trip. We went here, we went there. I read you from an emerging God book that I'll be doing. I actually have been doing my whole life. And I read you the conclusion to Trump's war, his battle for America, and the bullet points of the Savage Solutions. And I asked you a loaded question, because many of you are disheartened. You're buying the lie from the backstabbers who opposed them his entire... During the whole campaign, the backstabbers put knives in his back. Then the minute he looked like he was going to win, they became his best supporter. The minute he faltered because of the lib rhino complex, they started stabbing him in the back again. And you're buying a lie. He's gotten some things done. He didn't get it all done. He's only been president for a few months. But why did you vote for him? What do you want him to do? Because I've got inside information that this show, let us say, is listened to by some very powerful people, not only in his own inner circle, but in the Republican Party, people that you would know their household names, very powerful, very important people, and they happen to listen to the show. They respect my views very much. And I'm putting the show out as a message to Mr. Trump to tell him to persist in his endeavors for the American people who voted for him, to not let the haters, the liars, undermine him in any way, and don't capitulate towards them. So I begin by asking you what you voted for and why. And there's no better place to begin than on line 9 in my hometown of San Francisco. Yes.
Hey, Michael, sorry about that. Why did I vote for Donald Trump? It's because you're right. I do live in San Francisco, in the greater San Francisco area. I'm in Walnut Creek, and I voted for the guy because we see what's going on with just breaking the laws and just a lack of respect for law and order in this country. We've become a third world nation out here. When you talked about the story that occurred in Orinda a few months ago, where the lady that was on the school board was shot in her driveway, and her husband was attacked and pistol whipped after they got off BART in Orinda, of all places. And you're familiar with that town.
So what you're saying is what? The illegal aliens are your number one issue?
I would say illegal aliens are a huge issue in our area with the sanctuary cities, but I just think the tone of the country is that crime is acceptable now, that we should be protecting the criminals and the victims. I mean, you look at that poor family, the Steinle family, and they're victims in their own country, and they have no protection.
And by the way, the illegal alien who stole the gun from a federal agent, or found the gun, broke into a car and got the gun, then killed Kate Steinle. Where is that story? Why was he shooting that gun on Fisherman's Wharf, over by the ferry terminal? What was he doing? What was he shooting at?
Right.
Why is there no follow-up in the great newspapers of San Francisco? Why is there not one word from the lousy liars who claim that they defend women's rights, who have nothing to say about Kate Steinle, whose life was taken by an invader from the third world? Why is there no mention of her? So this is why you voted for Trump. You want the sanctuary cities to end.
You want
the mayors and those in the police departments who won't comply with federal law to go to jail. There's a sheriff calling to jail the mayors who are defying federal law. You agree with that?
For Trump, absolutely. I voted for Trump for draining the swamp. I mean, I know that it was a tagline and it was a catchphrase, but it matters. And I think even on both sides of the aisle, people have been complaining about the corruption in our government, and it started at the federal level. I mean, look at these cities. Look at these urban areas. They're a perfect example of how liberal mentality is a failure. I grew up in the city of Oakland, and when I grew up, as a child, I used to walk down to MacArthur Boulevard at the corner as a five-year-old and go into the liquor store and get a Milky Way, you know, and There was no fear of it. Now, good luck. I mean, it's after 8 years of Obama allowing and condoning and protecting and defending criminals, there's no wonder why people are getting shot in Orinda and sanctuary.
Well, that's right. Every word out of the mouth of Maxine Waters or Dianne Feinstein or whatever her name is, Nancy Pelosi, is about the sacred nature of the illegal alien. And she seems to forget that the taxpayers, the natives, if you want to call us that, are far more important than the invaders. Well, Emmanuel, I'm going to send you a copy of Trump's War. I know you're going to want to look through that book. So he voted to get rid of sanctuary cities. What did you vote for? What was the number one thing you wanted? Let's go across the country to this great radio show, to the station that carries this radio show in New York City. Bill on WABC, Line 7. Why did you vote for Trump? What did you hope he would do?
Number one reason was the wall, definitely, and to deport all the criminals, the illegal criminals that are filling up our jails, but build the wall first and then send them back so they don't come over in a little raft the next night. The other thing I really wanted was to lower the taxes for the Eddies.
Yep. Well, that's simple. It's short and sweet. Build the wall and lower the taxes. That would be nice. Well, we've got nothing in taxes yet, and the wall, the Republicans themselves are blocking, Bill. You know that already.
Yes, he's getting C-blocked everywhere he goes, and I will not give up on him. I think he'll get it done.
See, now that's the right attitude. What the illegitimate left and the Republicans who oppose Trump want you to do is to walk away and give up. Because now that they have all the power in the world, they don't need you anymore.
I know. I know you're right.
Okay. That's the basic reality. Okay, Bill, I'm sending you Trump's War because there's still a battle. A big, big battle. I was reading a list of the largest counties in America that are defying federal law on the illegal aliens. And in New York, it's Nassau County on Long Island. Would you believe that? Because they flooded in a lot of illegal aliens over the last 20 or 30 years into Nassau County. And when ICE comes with a deportation order, the police are being told not to comply with the federal agents in ICE. This is really an outrage when you think about it. Remember all the years when the dictator Obama was ruling America? Every time a local district or a little town said, no, we don't want you to drop Syrians in our town. We don't want them. They'll never assimilate. We're poor. We don't have the money for it. You remember what the liberals said? Oh, no, you can't do that because, you see, federal law is the law that controls immigration. So all you little schmucks out there in nowhere land who've had a nice, quiet little farm life with people like yourself who worship the same God as you do where there's almost no crime, go drop dead because we're going to send you as many as we want and stick them right down your nose. And with the help of the Catholic Church or Catholic Family Charities or Lutheran Family Services, who are making billions of dollars off it, we'll stick them in your town, and you know what? We don't care what happens. Town would say, no, we don't want them. Federal government would say, sorry, federal law controls immigration law. Well, now what we're hearing is the opposite. We're hearing, oh, no, you have no right to defy us. We in the local level, we want the illegal aliens here, says Maxine Waters. Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi. We're going to fight the federal government, they say, to make sure that there's an alien in every house. We're going to fight the federal government to make sure that there's increased disease and crime, confusion in America. Because, well, the federal government doesn't control immigration law. Well, the fact of the matter is there's a truth to this. And the truth is that the federal government does control immigration law. It's not the local jurisdiction. And so, therefore, what went on during Obama, where the federal government trumped local governmental ordinances, is still in play. And now that Trump is the president, they're twisting the reality, twisting the law, and trying to have you believe that it's up to local jurisdictions to decide whether or not to deport illegal aliens when there is a deportation order for them. They're wrong. So a sheriff has come out today and said he wants the mayors of sanctuary cities who are defying the federal government to be arrested immediately for aiding and abetting lawbreakers. What do you think of that idea? I kind of like that. I would kind of like to see some of these very, very high and mighty mayors who are saying drop dead to the American people and to Donald Trump, who are putting the, let's say, the lives and the wants of non-citizens over those of citizens, what would be wrong with arresting them? They're committing terror. They're imposing a terroristic threat to the citizenry by saying, no, we're not going to comply with the federal government. So which laws do you want to comply with? What are you going to say? Well, okay, I don't want to pay my taxes. You go to jail in 1 second. So Mayor de Blasio says, no, I don't want to deport anyone. He should go to prison. He's opening a door to anarchy in San Francisco, in New York City. Same in San Francisco, anarchy. Either we stay together as a republic or we fall apart. So what is it that needs to be done? I guess you need to threaten the mayors of these cities that are so high and mighty to tell them, no, I'm the president now. Federal law dictates what immigration law is going to be. If you don't comply with us, if you tell your local police not to cooperate with ICE when they have a deportation order, we're going to arrest you, the mayor. You're going to jail. How's that for an idea? You want to stop the invasion? The only way to stop the invasion is to stop the generals of the invasion. And the generals of the invasion are the mayors of sanctuary cities. It is time to put these Benedict Arnolds where they belong, in prison. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7.
Hillary is back, and again, she's using the same demagoguery that got her where she wound up, which is nowhere. Again, she's appealing to women. Again, over and over again. It's an old game of the left, divide and conquer. Obama used race. She uses sex to divide people. They don't know anything else. So now she comes up with a new speech about women in the jobs in clip 11. Listen to this nonsense.
We women have made strides in education and careers.
Oh, that
There's
voice.
There's still a woeful lack of women in the upper reaches
oh,
of
get out
and
the
technology,
violin.
Business and education,
yeah,
not to
yeah,
mention
yeah, yeah.
politics and government.
Ugh.
Women's representation in the current administration in Washington, for example, is the lowest it's been in a generation.
She hasn't learned anything. She does not know why she lost. Does she not have an advisor to tell her that this message is stale and that women rejected it themselves? Women themselves rejected this woman in droves. At the end, it was women who rejected her. They couldn't take it anymore. You know, but just hearing her voice tells me that if Trump accomplishes almost nothing, it's been a huge victory for sanity. I'll tell you that right now. This is unbelievable to me. Again, women, 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 women. With Maxine Waters, with Obama, it's race, 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 race. Isn't it time to stop this mental degradation? Isn't it time to stop this mental corruption, this mental pollution? Isn't it time to look through all of this and say to yourself, these unsavory characters are what is wrong with America, that they cannot save this country? Isn't it enough to say that these individuals are what is absolutely pillaging this nation? These loathsome individuals, these cowards running on lies, are what's wrong with America. If they don't like Donald Trump, it's too bad. He's the elected president. So you don't like his policies? Work with him. Find a way to work with him. You're not going to get anything by putting him down every day, by repeating the same big lie over and over again. It didn't work for you last time. It's not going to work for you this time. Not all of us are on crack. Not all of us are on crack. Not all of us live in Crackolandia. And so we have a problem here. And the problem is that many of you are buying the big lie that Trump is a failure, that his administration is in trouble, that he's gotten nothing done. They're all lies. But the media is repeating the big lie over and over and over and over and over. Can you turn on a television show or open a website and not see an anti-Trump or Trump bashing for once? Have you ever seen anything like this in your entire life? No. Is it deserved? How can it be? He hasn't done anything yet. What has he actually done that's so bad? Oh, he hasn't promoted the progressive agenda, so that's the evil that he's committed? He hasn't flooded us with 500% more illegal aliens from alien Muslims from the Middle East, as she wanted to do? That was increase the number of Muslim immigrants by 500%? Over what Obama already did to this country? Is that what you wanted? Okay, so now we have to ask ourselves, what do we have to do to help him? What can we, the people who went out and voted for him, do now? Well, the first thing you have to do is understand it's all a big lie that he's got nothing done. And number two, it's around-the-clock propaganda. It's like living in a dictatorship of lies. I have to repeat again, Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, said, if you repeat a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. Hillary repeats the big lie. Here she is, one of the most powerful women in the world. And here she says there aren't enough women in the upper reaches of science, technology, and politics. How could she say that and believe anybody is listening to her? How is that even possible? Well, apparently they're blind to their own words. And Maxine Waters, again, collusion with Russia, collusion with Russia, 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 Russia. Here is a dummy who didn't know the difference between Korea and Crimea. Here is a woman who gives new meaning to so many words that I can't repeat on this show. But she keeps repeating the big lie over and over and over again. And that's why I didn't so jokingly say, or not so jokingly say at the beginning of the show, that I would like to create a fund for her. A fund that would help her lead a new organization. But I don't have to repeat the joke. You'll hear it yourself at another time, perhaps on a replay. The issue is, these big lies are killing the system.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
You have a president who tells the world that in his view, after intensive study, he has concluded, unlike the rest of the scientific community, that climate change is a hoax emanating from China. And what he has done in appointing the people that he has appointed is a danger, a horrific danger, not only to our generation, but to our children and our grandchildren. Hey, Mr. President, listen to the scientists. Climate change is real. It is already causing devastating problems in our country.
All right, got it. He's all upset about the climate. The pickle man speaketh. The pickle man speaketh. A great scientist, by the way. Dr. Bernie Sanders, he has studied climate for his entire life and come to the conclusion that Trump is devastating the entire world because he lifted restrictions on burning coal. And so you have to pay attention to the pickle man because the pickle man's scientific credentials are so phenomenal. They equal that of Albert Schweitzer and Albert Einstein put together, just to start with, to show you how great the science is on this subject. All right, so there we are. Here is none other than Murky Waters in clip number 8 in the Savage Nation.
First of all, let me thank Hillary Clinton for standing up for all women, and in particular for black women. And let me just say this. I'm a strong black woman, and I cannot be intimidated. I cannot be undermined. And I'd like to say to women out there everywhere, don't allow these right-wing talking heads, these dishonorable people, to intimidate you or scare you. Be who you are, do what you do, and let us get on with discussing the real issues of this country.
Now, I'm hereby announcing the creation of a Go Unfund Her campaign so that Maxine Murky Waters can start a Stupid Lives Matter movement. And you see, SLM will organize, posturize, and disharmonize in all ways, continue to demonstrate the power of stupid people to destroy a nation. So if you want to contribute to this new organization, which will be run by Maxine Waters, I hope I can get it to agree to this. Stupid Lives Matter is accepting your donations at a GoFundMe site yet to be determined. And now on to the news of the day, not. You don't want to hear the news. I know people don't even tune in to hear the news. What do they need me for the news for? They go to a few websites. No one cares about the news right now. War drums, North Korea threatens USA over Kim Jong-un fat jibes, could kill 90% of Americans, and I'm sitting here? What should I do, be living in a shelter or something? I don't care about Kim Jong-un. I don't care about him. I don't know why they don't knock him off already. Why can't we just preemptively launch against North Korea before they kill us? Why can't we stop them? I don't understand this. How is this even possible that the media is putting their heads in the sand? Here is a nation that could launch with a small warhead, a little miniaturized warhead, and they could reach the west coast of the United States. Now, I grew up in the 50s when we had to do duck and cover. Some of you older folks remember that. Remember that? The fun you'd have jumping under the desks in elementary school. It was a way away from the boredom and depression of math and spelling and reading. They'd ring a bell. It was like a civil defense test, exercise. Because it was in the age of the Cold War with Russia, something that the Democrats would like to see again, because there's big billions to be made in stirring up war fears, and warmongers like Charles Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and others are salivating to make sure that the money comes rolling in for the new Cold War that they're ginning up. But in the 50s, you'd be in the middle of a class, you'd be talking about George Washington crossing the Trenton River, or whatever. I was studying what a peninsula was for five straight years. You know, I look back on my elementary school years. I learned, in the first 5 years, I learned like five things. I learned what a peninsula was. I learned how to add two and three. I mean, I learned nothing in the first 5 years. But I did learn how to hide under a desk in case the Russians launched against us with long-range bombers. I don't think they had missiles in those days that could reach the U.S., but they could launch a bomber that could hit New York. So you'd be listening to the teacher talking about whatever, and then she'd say, I know an alarm would go off. All right, boys and girls, get under your desks. And we loved it. Books would be flying all over the room. You got a chance to be a kid again. You kicked your chair back, and you got under a desk. I mean, like, that was going to help you in a nuclear blast. It was unbelievably stupid. But there weren't enough desks for everyone, so some of us had to go into the clothing closets. I remember to this day, we had to run into the clothing closets, which had hooks which today could impale you. With the shyster lawyers in New York today, you know how many lawsuits there'd be against the New York City schools? My daughter went in a closet for a civil defense test, and she jammed herself with a clothing hook. Oh, she can't walk. She hurt her lumbago. I want to sue for $80 million. Anyway, so we went in the closets and hide in the coats. We come out, and then we go back to the boredom of it. Maybe we need civil defense tests again to wake the kids up to the reality of the world they live in. No, all they got to do is ride in New York public transport, and they'll know what the danger really is. There's probably more risk of getting killed in a New York City subway, or let us say assaulted or knifed, than there was of getting hit by a nuclear weapon in the 1950s from Russia. Here she is again talking about collusion. It's a big word. I know for a fact that she had to practice that one. Here is the genius of Maxine Waters in clip number 7.
He came to the presidency with the kind of character and background.
Wait, stop. Character? Is she talking about a recipe with vegetables? He came to the presidency with a carrot, huh? Did I hear that wrong? Does she mean character? I guess in Southern California they say character instead of character. So, okay. It's a certain brogue, a certain type of way of speaking. I shouldn't criticize it. I myself don't speak proper English. Look how far I've gotten speaking poor English. It's amazing to me. Who speaks proper English anymore except the Englishmen who have lost their country? They're so proper they forgot to defend themselves, which is the most proper thing to do, which is number one, survival. What's the difference if you speak perfect English? Take a look at the rap stars. They speak 50 words of English and they're worth $50 million. What do they need English for? What do you need English for in this country? Take a look at Maxine Waters. Look how far she's gotten. She can't even say character, even though she's trying to say Trump doesn't have character. She says he has no character. Maybe she's saying something we should know. Maybe he needs to eat more carotene, and she's concerned about him. I don't know what the problem is. It's purely seditious. And then you have Sanders obsessed with coal and carbon dioxide, which is one of the most ludicrous things on earth to worry about, Bernie. There are bigger problems. If there was collusion with Russia, and this and that. What else is in the news that I shouldn't tell you about? What do I want to bum you out for? Oh, here we go again. Bernie Sanders. The day wouldn't be complete if I didn't pick up another pickle man shot. Here's the seltzer man talking about now insurance companies in 19.
There is one major country on earth that does not guarantee health care to all people as a white. It's the United States. And that country, our country, ends up spending.
Shut up, you commie bum. You shut up, communist bum. Communist bum, shut up. Communist bum, get a soapbox, go to Union Square, communist bum. I knew this type of bum. This is the type of bum in my father's generation who couldn't get a job or was too lazy to open a business. And so they usually taught. They had rotten suits with tuna fish stains in the lapel from taking a tuna sandwich on the IRT. And all they did was talk about trade unions and talk about Karl Marx, and they beat everyone up. No one liked them. They were hated by everyone in the family. Even people who were liberal hated the Bernie Sanders types, hated them. They just wouldn't stop. They all know they're liars. The guy could never get a living in anything other than hating. Hating America. Human suffering. Now he's concerned that look at all the topics he's worried about. How could one head carry all of this around so much without fainting? Coal was one subject. He went from coal to insurance companies. He went from coal to insurance to healthcare companies. How does this man carry the weight of the world on his head like this at his age? So now he's effectively worried about healthcare for all. Who's going to pay for it? That's the one thing that they don't understand, is that if you have to give everyone health care, someone pays for it, Bernie. Who's going to pay for that? Well, the answer is you cut the military spending, right? How did that work out, that for 3 years we couldn't beat ISIS by cutting the military spending? And there's a lot of scams in liberalism, let's be honest with you. Look, I'm not a man who supports corporate crony capitalism. I hate it. I've told it to you yesterday that the people who make their money by trading currencies, for example, or by speculating, pure speculation, without producing anything, are not capitalists by any means. There, it's another form of economics that has nothing to do with capitalism. It's a tumor on the system of capitalism that was developed going back to Adam Smith, if you want me to get specific about it. I don't really want to lecture you. But when you see these people who provide no jobs, no services, making billions of dollars a year, you have to ask yourself, what is wrong with the system that permits them to do it? And so I've come up with solutions. I did so in 3 books ago, trickle up this, trickle up down that, scorched earth, Trump's war. I have solutions. The problem is I don't have any influence. At one dessert with you-know-who, and after I've gotten slightly, let us say, I'm critical of certain things. Why shouldn't I be? If you know what? I think that the president would be better off with a guy like me around him. Let's say he has a fairly intelligent guy with a good grasp of things that are going on, and I know what the people want. Why shouldn't I be able to say, I think you're wrong about this, and I think you should do that? Why shouldn't I? Does he have anyone around who says that? Is there anyone in the inner circle who can criticize? I don't do any of them. I don't know. Look, it's not only him. Do you think Obama listened to anyone tell him what he should do? Are you kidding me? Do you actually think that Obama listened to any criticism? Do you know what it takes for a human being to get to that height? Now, let's try to imagine this together. Man or woman, do you have any idea what kind of ego, what kind of character it takes to become president of the United States or the head of any major country? They don't get there by listening to people. That's number one. No one does. They don't have the time. They're sure they're right about everything. It usually works for them. So they really don't want to hear criticism or advice. Can you blame them? So what am I going to say to you? That's all. So now looking at the news, McCain and Kasich make world's greatest leaders. Are you crazy? Fortune magazine listed them as two of the top American political leaders. And why they did so, of course, is because they're moderates. McCain is a crazy traitor. McCain is not a great leader. McCain is a backstabber. He's a quisling. McCain would work very well with the other side. And then they say this about Kasich. Kasich's moderation didn't resonate with Republican voters in last year's primaries. No kidding. Lately, he's rallied GOP's governors behind preserving the Affordable Care Act's Medicaid expansion, which allowed Kasich to secure coverage for nearly 700,000 Ohioans. Okay. And who pays for that? Tell me who pays for that. You know, it's nice to give health care to all, Bernie Sanders. It's nice to give jobs to all. They tried that in the Soviet Union. How did that work out? You can't make everything equal in a society because not everyone is equal. Take a look at a baseball field, a football field. Take a look at the higher learning, real higher learning, not garbage that's taught that passes for higher learning. I'm talking about the real sciences, the real skill sets that are required to advance in medicine and science. You know what I'm saying? You can't fake it. You can't just put people in there because they look good in the brochure. The fact of the matter is you cannot make everyone outcome. You can't make all the outcomes equal. Doesn't work. Never has, never will. Try a boxing match and tell me if you want equal outcome in a boxing match. Why is it they try to beat each other's head in? because they're trying to prove they're better than the other man. That's the human spirit. That's what drives man from the beginning of time. That's what will drive nations and the individual man till the end of time. No matter what the cis trans group want you to believe, no matter what the cis sisters want you to think, that's the nature of human beings. No matter what the cisgender maniacs want you to think, that's the nature of human beings, competitive. And they're more competitive than anybody trying to impose their twisted view of the world on everyone else. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage. Why do I have to work every day like this? Why? Because if I don't, who will? Who would do the things I do if it was not for me? Who would take on all the unsavory characters in the government media complex who have polluted bloodstreams? When you look at the people on MSNBC, for example, and you see Chris Matthews drooling on himself, and you ask yourself, how in the world can the executives, who can't be much smarter than them, or let's say less demented than they are, they look at the eyes of a person like Chris Matthews, and they remind you of eyes on FBI and Interpol wanted posters. If you look at the eyes now, you see eyes without empathy. You look at their eyes that are just staring at you to indulge and profit from your loathsome personality, to degrade you. Luciferian cowards, stoned on hatred for everything decent. Now, who could give you anything but me, a thing like that? Nobody. Then I read today that the House is passing a bill undoing Obama's internet privacy rules. I said, wait a minute, I'm getting a headache from this. I can't keep up with this. I don't know. Now I'm on the side of Nancy Pelosi. This is crazy. I can't keep up with it. Stephen Deenan of the Washington Times, fine reporter, says Trump to sign bill rolling back internet privacy protections. I don't know. What the hell is this? What is this rule? So the Republicans are now pushing for less privacy for me? Now, wait. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says this is staggering. This is almost a surrender. If the Republicans are allowed to do this, we have surrendered all thoughts of privacy for the American people. All 215 votes, yes votes, came from Republicans, while all Democrats present voted against the bill, as did 15 Republicans. Which side are the Republicans on? I mean, I don't know the answer to this one. Do I now have to shame myself by saying I agree with Pelosi? I have to think about this a little bit more because it doesn't make sense to me. The world is in free fall. Now, having told you all of that, I will tell you that my book is selling very well. Trump's War sold a phenomenal amount of books. It's outselling Scorched Earth and doing great on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Costco. E-books are going off the shelves. Well, there's no shelves for them. And they're starting a whole ad campaign, believe it or not, on FoxNews.com. All right, whatever. Starting today. They're just trying to keep it in them. But my greatest advertiser, my number one advertiser, is Swiss America, Crave Smith. He's a friend of mine. And he said he went on to the iBooks at Apple. And he said, and I went on to number one on New York Times bestsellers. He said, the status did not reflect your book. He said, Apple Books has a category, New York Times bestsellers. And he said, you're number one on the New York Times list. And yet he said, you're not even on their list. They're blackballing you. You don't even appear in the list at all. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. Tim Cook's Apple Books is burying Trump's war.